Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Gary Herbst. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Gary Albert Herbst was born on June 2, 1956, in the state of Wisconsin. He was described as a vindictive, cruel, evil, and antisocial loner who functioned as a menace to society. Gary was difficult to get along with and made a negative impression on pretty much everyone he met. Not surprisingly, as an adult, he became estranged from his family. Gary married a woman named Connie. They moved from Wisconsin to Richfield, Minnesota in 1980. In 1981, they moved again, this time to Elko, New Market, Minnesota, which is 31 miles south of Minneapolis. They lived in a 2,100-square-foot house at 347 Wagner Way. Gary worked as a machinist for various companies. On March 30, 1994, Connie had a son named Austin James Herbst. Over the next several years, Gary regularly aggravated and harassed his neighbors. Some people wondered if Gary would find himself murdered someday. Before moving to the timeline of the crime, let's hear a word from today's sponsor, June's Journey. June's Journey is a free-to-download mobile game that takes you on an epic adventure into a 1920s detective story featuring a wide variety of characters. It is a hidden object murder mystery game where the protagonist, June Parker, tries to figure out who murdered her sister. As you play, you progress through increasingly detailed scenes, level up, and earn rewards while collecting resources and rare items to customize June's mansion and garden. Each scene offers a unique challenge, almost like a visual puzzle, keeping you engaged as you search for hidden clues and piece together the mystery. June's Journey is satisfying at many levels, but what really stood out to me the most was the spectacular and stunning visual representations. This game allows a person to uncover hidden secrets and solve mysteries in an immersive, elegant, and beautiful world reminiscent of a bygone era. This game is perfect for anyone who loves adventure, mystery, and a good challenge. Download June's Journey for free by clicking the link in the description or scanning the QR code. June's Journey is available on Android and iOS smartphones and tablets, as well as on PC. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On March 25, 2014, Connie Herbst reported that her husband, Gary Herbst, was missing. She did this at the request of Gary's brother, who had been trying to reach him without success after Gary's mother died. Connie claimed that on July 6, 2013, Gary grabbed a suitcase and left home in an older gray Honda. She did not see the driver and did not know where Gary went. He never returned, so Connie sold the house, and she and Austin moved 14 miles west to New Prague, Minnesota. The police spoke to a coworker of Gary's who said that Gary worked on July 8, 2013. He left when his shift was completed at 3 p.m. The next day, Gary did not show up for work. He never came back. Connie's story had Gary leaving his house 2 days before his last day at work. Again, she said July 6, but the coworker said July 8. This didn't make a lot of sense, but the police decided not to investigate. Nobody seemed to be too concerned about Gary. On December 3, 2017, at 12:30 p.m., the police received a 911 call from a man who lived in a house on 10th Avenue in Maple Grove, Wisconsin. This is 129 miles northeast of Elko, New Market, Minnesota. The man said that his dog found a skull and brought it to his driveway. When officers arrived, they saw that there was a hole in the back of the skull consistent with a gunshot wound. A search was conducted of the area, which led to the discovery of additional skeletal remains about 300 feet away. In March 2019, the bones were sent for forensic genealogy examination. 11 months later, the bones were identified as belonging to Gary Albert Herbst. On February 28, 2020, the police paid a visit to Gary's wife, Connie, and son, Austin. Connie said that Gary was an unpleasant and volatile drug user. She was not surprised that he ended up dead. As far as why it took her so long to report him missing, she indicated that she did not think she needed to report it. Connie's story about the day Gary disappeared differed from her story in 2014. Now she was saying that when he left the house, she was at a public library. She never witnessed him leaving. Connie claimed that when she returned home from the library, she found Gary's bedroom ransacked and several items missing, including his clothing, $5,000 in cash, Connie's wedding ring, and her Sig Sauer semi-automatic pistol chambered in 45 ACP, which she purchased in the mid-1990s. Connie incorrectly stated the caliber to the police. She said it was a 40 caliber, but it was actually a 45. Connie indicated that Gary's cell phone had been left behind. Austin told the police that he last saw Gary climb into a gray pickup truck and drive away from the family home. The driver was an unknown man with tattoos and wearing a black shirt. Austin thought the man looked sketchy. The police asked why he thought he was sketchy. He responded that the man's shirt was ripped up. On June 16, 2020, the police interviewed Connie and Austin again. This time, Austin said he did not have a good relationship with his father. Austin also said that he knew the truth about what happened to his father, but he would not reveal the information at this time. The police confronted Connie about Gary's 2003 Chevrolet Impala, which had been sold in 2017, 4 years after he went missing. The title to the vehicle contained Gary's signature. Connie claimed that as a matter of routine, Gary signed and dated his vehicle titles in advance. On June 29, 2020, the police interviewed several former neighbors of Gary. The neighbors reported that in mid-August 2013, they saw Gary's pickup truck backed up to the sliding glass door in the rear of his house, sometime between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. The sliding glass door led directly to Gary's basement. Gary was a difficult neighbor who yelled profanities and called the police over frivolous matters. He was very particular about his property boundaries and his lawn. The neighbors were surprised that he would allow the truck to be on the grass, something they had never seen before. Connie and Austin loaded a rolled-up carpet into the back of the truck. They could be seen through a window cleaning and scrubbing the basement floor. On August 30, 2013, Connie had a garage sale where she sold Gary's tools and clothing. A few months later, the house was sold. On July 9, 2020, the police went to the former Herbst family home at 347 Wagner Way. They found blood on the basement floor, on wood studs behind drywall, and on the lower track of the sliding glass door leading out of the basement. Blood was also found on the north side of the garage. On July 18, 2020, Connie wrote a text message to Austin saying, quote, "Might have a problem. They are searching 347. Don't mean to blank up your vacation. Just wanted you to know. It's in the paper," unquote. 10 days later, the police interviewed Austin Herbst again. He said that he and his mother had gone camping the weekend his father went missing. When asked about the 45 caliber pistol, he said no one would ever get hurt with the gun because it was safe in 60 feet of water. Austin went on to claim that the year leading up to Gary's disappearance was particularly challenging. Gary's behavior had become worse. He was verbally and physically mistreating Connie. Austin intervened many times and essentially transformed into his mother's protector. Connie was interviewed again as well. She denied wrongdoing and asked for an attorney. On November 19, 2020, Connie and Austin were arrested and charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder. Connie didn't talk to the police. However, Austin adopted a different approach. He confessed to the murder. Here is what he said. On July 8, 2013, Austin was in his bedroom and heard his parents arguing about money. After the argument, Connie left the house, which Austin knew because he heard the door slam, the garage open, and the car drive away. At this point, Austin left his room to get a glass of milk and saw his father sleeping on the couch. Under the couch, he saw his mother's 45 caliber pistol. Austin picked up the pistol, pointed the weapon at the back of his father's head, and pulled the trigger. Gary did not survive the shooting. Austin claimed that he believed Gary was going to kill his mother when she returned. He called his mother and asked her to come home. When she arrived home, she helped Austin put Gary's body in the pickup truck. They drove to Wisconsin and left his body in a wooded area. Austin insisted that he was the one who pulled the trigger. His mother was not at home at the time of the murder. In March 2021, Austin James Herbst pleaded guilty to aiding and abetting second-degree murder. He was later sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison and will be eligible for parole on March 19, 2029. Connie Lou Herbst pleaded guilty to aiding an offender, accomplice after the fact. She received 2 years and 3 months in prison and was released in May 2022. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Gary was not a well-liked individual in his neighborhood. He had a reputation for yelling and screaming expletives at neighbors and irritating people. Everyone the police spoke to in the neighborhood described Gary in unfavorable terms. Every single person. Neighbors reported that he would use his snowblower to blow snow into other people's yards, blast a pipe organ, and video record them. Gary was described as vindictive, horrible, mean, petty, cruel, antagonistic, confrontational, and evil. Item number two. There is no question that Gary was murdered, but there is some debate about who killed him. Austin confessed to the murder, saying he pulled the trigger. Connie denied any involvement in the murder, but there is some evidence pointing to her guilt. For example, her pistol was the murder weapon. She helped Austin dispose of the body. And in her original story, she said she was home when Gary disappeared. Only later did she claim to be at the library. If Austin was functioning as his mother's protector, it stands to reason that he would have accepted responsibility for the murder, regardless of who pulled the trigger. There is no way to know exactly how the events unfolded. If I had to guess, I would say that Austin was the shooter, but it is difficult to believe that Connie only helped him after the murder. She was supposedly taken off guard with this homicide, but then she was fine with cleaning the house and disposing of the body. That seems like an unusually cooperative reaction to an unexpected homicide. Item number three, the state asked for a prison term of 30 years for Austin. Under the guidelines, his sentence should have been between 20 and 30 years. The judge found Austin's claim about Gary being harmful to be credible. She believed that Austin was genuinely worried about Gary murdering his mother. This is why the judge gave him just 12 and a half years. This brings me to the question, did Austin deserve such a lenient sentence? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he did, starting with the factors that support this theory. Gary was universally viewed as a horrible person, one of the worst human beings who ever walked the earth, or at least ever walked in his neighborhood. A reputation that bad is not easy to earn. Something must have been going on. He had extreme personality characteristics. It's not difficult to imagine that Gary did mistreat his wife and son. After the murder, neighbors said that Connie and Austin became much more social. They regularly greeted people and handed out cookies. Arguably, this behavior is consistent with a mother and son who had been oppressed by an evil father. They felt like they couldn't do anything with him alive, but now with him dead, they were free to socialize. It was like they had been freed from prison. At a pre-sentencing hearing, referring to his father, Austin said, quote, "To this day, I believe he was going to kill her that night. If I would have stood aside, my mom would be dead. I knew what I did and why I did it, and to this day, I am confident that my decisions were justified," unquote. There was no other obvious motive for Austin to kill Gary other than trying to protect his mother and himself. It's not like he benefited financially or obtained something else of value. Now moving to the factors that contradict the theory that Austin deserved a lenient sentence. The way Austin described the shooting, it was like he stumbled upon an opportunity to kill Gary. He left his bedroom to get a glass of milk, but then saw the pistol under the couch. Did Austin really feel like anyone was in danger, or was he just taking advantage of this chance to kill his father? It seems unusual to go from wanting milk to wanting to kill. Gary did not represent an imminent threat to Austin, Connie, or anyone. He was sleeping. Austin had many other options to deal with the situation if he did feel threatened. For example, he could have called the police, or he could have left the house. There was no need to kill Gary. The story about Gary mistreating Connie and Austin came out years after his murder. The police said that, despite Gary's terrible reputation in the neighborhood, there was no evidence he ever mistreated Connie or Austin. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe Austin's sentence was fair? In my opinion, I think his sentence should have been 20 years in prison. Austin shot his father in the back of the head while he was sleeping, and then went to great lengths to dispose of his body. This is not the behavior of someone who fired in self-defense or in defense of another. There is a sense that the truth will never be known in this case. Gary's bones did not stay concealed, but the exact roles that Austin and his mother played in his murder remain hidden. Those are my thoughts in the case of Gary Herbst. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.